Hello everyone, and welcome to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else that I want to as I try and navigate this crazy world and deal with whatever mental issues happen to be assaulting my brain this week. Now, March of the Machine is out, and I unfortunately had to miss the pre-release because I was not feeling well that weekend. So I have not gotten my hands on any of the product, and I probably won't until after next week because, well, next week is the Magic Fest Minneapolis, which I will be driving out to, so I needed to save some money. That said, there were cards that have been, you know, released and or spoiled since I made the video talking about cards I was excited about, so I just want to talk about a few more cards from the set that I am excited about. And we're going to start this list off with Guardian of Ghirrapur. It is 2 and a white for a 3/3 angel. It has flying, and when the Guardian enters the battlefield, exile up to one target creature or artifact you control, return to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So, in addition to being a cheap angel that we're gonna like in the Giada deck, it's also the ability to flicker something, and honestly the only thing that would make this creature better is if it had flash. That said, moving on to the next one, which is the Invasion of Vryn. It is 3 and a blue for a battle siege. It has a defensive 4. When Invasion of Vryn enters the battlefield, draw 3 cards and then discard a card. After the 4 defense has been defeated, it flips into an Overloaded Mage Ring, which is an artifact. It has 1 tap, sacrifice the Overloaded Mage Ring, copy target spell you control. You may choose new targets for the copy. So, worst comes to worst, it's a draw spell, but then the ability to copy a spell has always been, well, just good. So after that one, we are looking at the Archpriest of Shadows. It is 3 black-black for a 4/4 human warlock. It has backup 1, death touch, and whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player or battle, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. So in its own ability of being a 4/4 for 5 with death touch, that's kind of cool, but the way backup works, so if you put the +1/+1 counter on a different creature, it gains the rest of the abilities of the card, so that means it gains death touch, and then the whenever the creature deals combat damage to a player or battle, return target card from your graveyard to the battlefield. So I just see this being a way of, you know, getting something small through just to get something back that ate a removal spell, something like that. And moving right along, after that in red, we have City on Fire. It's 5 red for an enchantment. It has Convoke, and if a source you control would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals triple that damage instead. And yes, the 8 mana might be difficult, but if you, say, tap 5 red creatures, that could pay for the 3 red and then an additional 2 from the colorless that we need, or generic. So there's ways to make this much cheaper and still have the ability to attack that turn. And who doesn't like tripling damage? But that's really all I have to say about that one. So moving right into green, we have Ozolith, the Shattered Spire. It's 1 and a green, legendary artifact. If 1 or more +1/+1 counters would be put on an artifact or creature you control, that many +1/+1 counters are put on instead. And then you can pay 1 and a green and tap it to put a +1/+1 counter on target artifact or creature you control. Activate only as a sorcery. And it has cycling for 2. So this has the ability of doubling +1/+1 counters, well, or adding 1 additional depending on how many you're putting on there. But the fact that it gives you the ability to put the counters on to begin with makes this card honestly amazing. That's it's just really good. And cycling never hurt anybody. All right, and I would just want to round out this list with two more cards. The first one being Dejuru and Hazoret. Two red, red, white for a 5/4 human god. As long as you have one or fewer cards in your hand, they have vigilance and haste. Whenever they attack, look at the top six cards of your library. You may exile a legendary creature card from among them. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. Until end of turn, you may cast the exiled card without paying its mana cost. I don't necessarily want to build this deck, but I have two other legendary creatures matters decks. One's in Mardu, and the other one is five colors. So I honestly just want to pick it up for both of those. So I think this would be great in the 99 of other decks that already care about legendary creatures. And the last one I want to talk about is Omnath, Locus of All. So Omnath, Locus of All costs white, blue, a Phyrexian black, red, and green. For a 4/4 Phyrexian elemental. If you would lose unspent mana, that mana becomes black instead. And at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, look at the top card of your library. You may reveal that card if it has three or more colored mana symbols in its mana cost. If you do, add three mana in any combination of its colors and put it into your hand. If you don't reveal it, put it into your hand. So, yeah, that does a lot. It's also the BioBox promo, which is the main reason I wanted to bring it up. If you are looking for this, the best way to get it is either going to be buy it as a single or go to your LGS to pick up a box, but make sure they have them. There's been some issues with getting things to stores recently. Right, so normally this is where I would end this part of the podcast and go into the next part of the podcast. But in between recording the last bit and recording now, the Spring Super Drop 2023 for Magic's Secret Lairs came out. So let's go through those real quick. First up, we have three different versions of the Showcase March of the Machine. Volume 1 contains Wheel and Deal, Questing Beast, Olivia Voldaren, Walking Ballista, and The World Tree. And they're each in the special art for whatever plane they're meant to represent. So Wheel and Deal from Nuka Penna, Questing Beast from Ikoria, stuff like that. And I don't want to spend a ton of time working on these, so I'm not going to go card by card what they each do. I'm just going to go through and tell you quickly what each one has. Volume 2 has Higuri the Still Wind, Nezahal Primal Tide, Dragonlord Kolaghan, Mina and Den Wildborn, and Xantcha Sleeper Agent. And Volume 3 has Misdirection, Utvara Hellkite, Kogal of the Titan Ape, Nyxborn Ancient, and Joyra Weatherlight Captain. Those have some bangers in there, not gonna lie. There's also three artist series. The first one we have is Alanya Danner. She has a Sunblast Angel, Linvala, Keeper of Secrets, Emeria the Sky Rune, and Seraph Sanctuary. Next up is artist series Randy Vargas, which has a Grand Abolisher, a Selfless Savior, a Chroma Angel of Fury, and Umezawa's Jite. And the third and final of the artist series, Rebecca Gay, comes with a Cleansing Nova, Sarah the Benevolent, Stoneforge Mystic, and a Muddle the Mixture. And that leaves us with two more. The first one is called Nature is Adorable. That comes with a Joraga Tree Speaker, Nature's Will, Uvenwald Tracker, and Yeva Nature's Herald. And finally, we have Ocean Breeze. Cool Ocean Breeze, which comes with a Lawan Cephalid Empress, a Master of Waves, Thassa Deep Dwelling, and Thassa's Oracle. Now, because we're already going a bit long on this part, I will say there are several of these I'm actually interested in, mostly for the cards that are in them, not necessarily the art styles. But that said, we are going to end this part of the podcast and We will be back in a minute to talk about a deck. I'll be right back. Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff. Believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them. And we're back. Now, the deck I want to talk about this week is my Sephiroth of the Hidden Ways deck, which I kind of built around two other cards that I keep in the 99. But Sephiroth of the Hidden Ways is a white, a blue, and a black for a 2/3 human wizard. Whenever one or more creature cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere, venture into the dungeon. This ability triggers only once each turn. And then she has the ability Create Undead. Whenever you complete a dungeon, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. So I built this around Dungeon Delver, which is one in a blue. It's in a enchantment background. Commander creatures you own have room. Abilities of dungeons you own trigger an additional time. And Hama Pashar, Ruin Seeker, one a white and a blue for a 2/3 human wizard that says room abilities of dungeons you own trigger an additional time. So I built this deck to try and trigger the dungeons as many times as possible, and it did kind of fall into like a mid-rangey deck with the way it worked out. But the main way we're going to enter dungeons is through, well, venturing into the dungeon and taking the initiative. So let's go over taking the initiative first, just because that one has additional things it can do. So when you take the initiative, and at your upkeep, if you control the initiative, you venture into the Undercity. But what this means, if you are in a dungeon, you advance to the next room. If you are not, you enter the Undercity, and you can take the initiative even if you already have it. But let's go over the Undercity. So, when you first get there, it has Secret Entrance. Search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, put it into your hand, and then shuffle. Then it has the two branching pathways. The one side is Forge, put 2 +1/+1 counters on a target creature. The other side is Lost Well, Scry 2. They can both lead into the arena, which will go target creature, or Forge leads into Trap. Target player loses 5 life. Lost Well into Stash, which creates a treasure token. Then Trap and Arena can lead into Archives, which draws a card, or Arena and Stash can lead into Catacombs, which creates a 4/1 black skeleton creature token with Menace. And then the last room is Throne of the Dead 3. Reveal the top 10 cards of your library. Put a creature card from among them onto the battlefield with 3 +1/+1 counters on it. It gains hexproof until your next turn, then shuffle. Now, the incentive itself is different from other dungeons and dungeon abilities, because whenever one or more creatures a player controls deals combat damage to you, that player then takes the initiative, which would then advance them through the Undercity or whatever dungeons they have active. So that's how that whole ability works. Now, I have 8 creatures in the deck that can take the initiative, and looking at it, I actually realized I'm missing a couple. The 2 that I thought of that I'm missing, I don't have a White Plume Adventurer in here yet. I will rectify that soon. But it's 2 and a white for a 3/3 Orc Cleric. When it enters the battlefield, take the initiative. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, untap a creature you control. If you've completed a dungeon, untap all creatures you control. And then the other one is Risla Rael Kingpin, which is 3, a blue and a black, for a 2/5 human rogue with death touch. When they enter, take the initiative, and whenever you attack, target attacking creature gains death touch till end of turn. If you've completed a dungeon, that creature also gets +5/+0 and gains first strike and menace until end of turn. I can't even tell you how much of that set I opened, and I did not open this uncommon. So I will have to pick those up. But as far as the ones that are in here right now, I do have the Ravenloft Adventurer and the Tomb of Horrors Adventurer. The Ravenloft Adventurer is 3 and a black for a 3/4 human rogue assassin. Each one of these is going to have, when it enters the battlefield, take the initiative. But if a creature an opponent controls would die, exile it instead and put a hit counter on it. Whenever the Ravenloft Adventurer attacks, if you've completed a dungeon, defending player loses one life for each card they own in exile with a hit counter on it. The Tomb of Horrors Adventurer is 5 and a blue for a 4/4 elf monk. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, copy it. If you've completed a dungeon, copy that spell twice instead. And then we get into the other stuff. We have Vicious Battle Rager, 3 and a black, 1/5 dwarf barbarian. Whenever it becomes blocked by a creature, its controller loses 5 life. Aarakocra Sneak, 3 and a blue for a 1/4 bird rogue with flying. Passageway Seer is 3 and a black for a 2/2 tiefling warlock with lifelink. At the beginning of your end step, if you have the initiative, you put a +1/+1 counter on the Passageway Seer. Underdark Explorer is 4 and a black for a 5/3 lizard warrior. It has menace. Goliath Paladin, 4 and a white for a 3/6 giant knight. It has vigilance. And Feywild Caretaker, 4 and a blue for a 3/4 orc wizard. At the beginning of your end step, if you have the initiative, you make a 1/1 blue fairy dragon creature token with flying. Now, shifting into the venturing into the dungeon side, I'm not going to go through all of the dungeons because there's a lot of them and many of them have multiple steps through them. But there are 3 of them. Dungeon of the Mad Mage, Lost Mine of Phandelver, and Tomb of Annihilation. Dungeon of the Mad Mage is typically the one I go through, even though it is the longest one to get through. You get to look at the most of your deck going through that one, and it draws you the most cards. I have more than double the amount of cards that can venture into the dungeon than I had that can take the initiative. I'm only going to highlight a few of them because I don't want this episode to go over, 30-something minutes or 40 minutes. Let's start with the Midnight Pathlighter. 2, a white and a blue for a 2/3 human wizard. Creatures you control can't be blocked except by legendary creatures. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, venture into the dungeon. Next up, we have Zombie Ogre, Occupation Zombie Ogre. It is 3 black-black for a 3/5 Zombie Ogre. At the beginning of your end step, if a creature died this turn, venture into the dungeon. Triumphant Adventurer is a white and a black for a 1/1 human knight with death touch. As long as it's your turn, the adventurer has first strike, and whenever Triumphant Adventurer attacks, you venture into the dungeon. Then we have Barwin of Clan Under, 2 white black for a 3/3 dwarf cleric. When it enters the battlefield, you venture into the dungeon, and whenever Barwin attacks, return up to 1 target creature card with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield if you've completed a dungeon. Then we have Nidar, Selfless Paladin, 2 and a white for a 3/3 Dragon Knight. Has vigilance. When it enters the battlefield or attacks, you venture into the dungeon, and other creatures you control get +1/+1 as long as you have completed a dungeon. And to round this out, we have Radiant Solar, 5 and a white for a 3/6 Angel with flying, lifelink, And whenever Radiant Solar or another non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, you venture into the dungeon. And you can pay a white, discard the Radiant Solar to venture into the dungeon and gain 3 life. Now, I could talk your ear off talking about the reanimation effects, the flicker effects, all the other stuff that I have in this deck, but I'm not going to. It just doesn't need to be brought up right now. The main core of the deck is what I talked about. So I am going to draw that to a close here. That said, if you want to see this deck, it will be with me in Minnesota next week. It is one of the decks going with me. And with that, I'm going to draw this to a close. So, thank you, and I will see you next time. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.